When you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided that purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labour pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
What comes to your mind when you hear the word slavery? Captivity? Chains? Oppression? Hard labour, toil, pain, despair, agony. The opening scene of Les Mis may spring to mind. Hugh Jackman with hundreds of other slaves, chained up together in big metal bindings, forced outside in terrible conditions, exerting themselves to their physical limits, being whipped by guards and almost crushed to death. I think we all think of slavery as a pretty terrible thing. But what about freedom? Words such as hope, purpose, life, choice, independence, free reign, and liberty. In the story of Les Mis, Jackman's character Valjean gains his freedom and becomes a wealthy businessman, a well-respected man, a much better alternative to his initial life as a slave. Freedom's a great thing. I don't think anyone would deny that freedom is always better than slavery. You would never choose slavery over freedom. Freedom is always better. So this passage may have surprised you a little bit. Paul is telling the Galatians they are choosing to be slaves when they could be choosing freedom. In this passage, Paul is urging the Galatians to choose freedom over slavery. Are we also choosing slavery instead of freedom? And would we want to know about it if we were? Let's have a look and see just how the Galatians were choosing to be slaves. Well, trying to please God with human actions is actually slavery. This is exactly what the Galatians were trying to do. Have a look with me now at verses 8 to 11. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather, are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. See, the Galatians had received the good news of Jesus, which says that any actions that try and please God can't earn you salvation. But they had seemingly forgotten this. They had been told that human acts can never save you, but were trying to please God all the same. They were turning back to the way they used to do things. See, the Galatians once lived in a pagan society where people would try and please the gods they worshipped. They were worshipping a range of gods, and they believed that appeasing those gods was the way to ensure life would go well for you. However, the gospel came to the people of Galatia, and they heard all about Jesus and how he provides salvation to all who believe in him. They accepted this message. Later, Jewish rulers came and told the Galatians about their Jewish customs. They said that it was by keeping these customs that would make you righteous. See, the Galatians went from trying to please their pagan gods with spiritual rituals to try to please God with Jewish laws. Paul says these are both wrong. Trying to please God makes you a slave. The Galatians were choosing slavery. Look at the question that Paul poses to them in verse 9. Do you wish to be enslaved once again? Paul makes it very clear that trying to please God is actually slavery. The Galatians were enslaved by the very things they were trying to do to please God. The rituals they needed completing with precise regularity, the constant pressure to do the things that will make God pleased, these things ruled over them, enslaved them, dictated how they lived, and caused them to lose their freedom. Now I, like many of us I'm sure, really enjoy coffee. I have to do night shifts, and having a few coffees each night helps me stay awake till morning. I don't think I've ever been addicted to the stuff, but I certainly know that can happen, even to the point where it can start controlling those who drink it. Headaches develop when they haven't had enough. If they go without their morning coffee, their mood sours. They need that caffeine to function properly. People can, in their own small way, become enslaved by the need for coffee. In the same way we can sometimes be controlled by caffeine, the Galatians were being controlled by the things they were trying to do to please God. They were stuck, trapped by these things. They could never make them right before God. They couldn't break the habit. They were living a life enslaved. Now, it may be tempting to try and take our salvation into our own hands. But trying to do so is just slavery. Are we being captured by the things we do to impress God? Do we have our own slave masters? Maybe it's things like building ourselves a good reputation here at church, looking like the complete Christian, being an impressive person. These things are not enough. Anything you try will never be enough. The task is impossible. We only trap ourselves when we try. This is slavery. We become slaves. Now, Paul goes on to point out the urgency and the desperation of this situation. Paul is desperate for the Galatians to understand that trying to please God is slavery. He pleads with them to turn back to freedom. Look at some of the language he uses in verses 12 to 20, starting at verse 15 there. I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. In verse 19, Paul talks of the agony he feels because the Galatians have turned away from freedom in Christ. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Paul uses extreme language here. He doesn't hold back in telling the Galatians how he feels that they have given up their freedom. Paul understands this is a life and death situation. The Galatians are following the path that leads to death, and he is desperately trying to turn the Galatians back to Christ, who brings life. He is pleading with them. He talks of the anguish of childbirth, The tearing out of eyes. It's pretty extreme stuff. Now, obviously, I have no idea what it might be like to be in the pains of childbirth, but I do get the picture Paul's painting here. He doesn't take it lightly. He considers the Galatians choosing slavery over freedom as something of extreme concern. You can tell he's really hurting when writing this letter, asking them to turn away from the weak principles of this world and back to Christ. Now, as you may know, I'm a pretty big sports fan, especially soccer. I was watching the Socceroos game the other week when they secured qualification to the Football World Cup next year. I really wanted to see the Australian team qualify. I was desperate. I was cheering at the television, yelling at the referee from the comfort of my own couch, and urging the team forward. I invested a lot of emotion in that game, watching the Aussies win. I was truly desperate for them to score the goal that would take us to the World Cup. And that made me think, if we can be this passionate about sport, surely we can be as passionate about our friends and families choosing freedom over slavery. If we can have such an emotional response to a soccer game, how much more should we respond when the people we love start choosing slavery to earthly things over freedom in Christ? How are we helping each other to be free? Are we as desperate as Paul was with the Galatians for each other's freedom here at Night Church? Do you feel as if you are in the anguish of childbirth when you see someone from this church turning away from freedom in Christ? We need to be desperate for each other. We should be doing everything we can to ensure that we are following the path that brings freedom and life. Are we in the pains of childbirth for our families? How about our small group, work colleagues, friends at uni? How can we encourage these people to choose freedom in Christ over slavery to the things of this world? And how can we do it with desperation? Let's be having these conversations with each other. Let's be asking one another if we are being enslaved when trying to please God. This is of eternal significance. Make it a priority at this church to be looking out for one another and encouraging each other down the path of freedom and away from slavery. Lastly, Paul turns to the Old Testament to ram home his point. He uses the famous example of Abraham to show how Jesus provides a freedom that the Old Testament law never could. It is here that we get the message with great clarity to cast off slavery once and for all. Let's read from verse 23 there. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, as the two women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. See, the Galatians are using the Old Testament law to justify their attempts to please God. Paul points out that they haven't understood what the Old Testament is trying to say to them. He goes back to Genesis, back to the story of Abraham, and uses that to illustrate his point. Now, Abraham, the father of the Israelites, had two sons. God promised Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars, but he lost patience waiting for a son with his wife Sarah. He slept with his maidservant, the slave Hagar, and she bore him a son named Ishmael. God told Abraham that this was not the son whom he had promised, and told him that Sarah would have the son who would be a result of that promise. And sure enough, Sarah did fall pregnant and gave birth to Isaac. You can read more about those two sons in Genesis chapter 16 and 21. Now, Paul likens the law, which is enslaving the Galatians, to Hagar. He says that Hagar stands for Mount Sinai, which is the place that God gave the law to his people. Hagar was a slave and could only produce a son who was also a slave. In the same way, the law can only produce slaves, just like Ishmael. Sarah, however, represents freedom. She represents our inheritance in Christ and the freedom we have when we accept God's gift of Jesus. Her son Isaac is a child of the promise God made with Abraham, just as we are children of the promise that God made to us through Jesus. Paul rams home his point at the end of the passage. Look from verse 30. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now, I remember when I left home for the first time and moved here to Bathurst for uni. Going home was always a strange experience. I now had the freedom to control my own life, living independently from my parents. But when I went back and visited, I seemed to revert back to how things were before I left. I would act like a bit of a child again and live under the control of my parents, do the things they told me, ate what they fed me, live the way they instructed. Now, my parents are hardly slave masters, and doing as they tell me is probably a good idea, but it's the same idea when we choose to be enslaved to the things we try to do to please God. It was awkward when I went home to stay with my parents after moving out. It's much worse than awkward when we go back to slavery. It's so much worse. We are turning our back on Christ and what he's done for us. We've been set free. We have a choice here. We do not need to be held captive by these things. The call is very simple. Get rid of slavery. We will miss out on the inheritance Christ provides if we do not. We are children of Christ. We need to stand firm in freedom and cast off slavery forever. We are the children of God's promise of salvation. Christ is that promise. We cast off slavery when we choose Christ and accept the gift he's given us. Let's get rid of slavery. Do you think that you're being enslaved by anything in your life? Just as the Galatians were being ruled by observing spiritual rituals and Jewish customs to please God, are you being ruled by the need to please God? Maybe it's having the right type of friends, saying the right kinds of things, having a life that looks good, having everything together. Do you feel pressure to tick these boxes? We should never be enslaved to these things. We should be striving to set ourselves free in Christ. We need to remember that our freedom is not earned, it's a gift. How can we be letting ourselves be set free in Christ? So let's put this all together now. We must remember that we can so easily fall into slavery when we try and please God. We must make sure that we choose freedom in Christ over slavery in trying to please God with our actions. We must do all we can to help each other out in doing this. We must be desperate to help each other be set free in Christ. Think about your life. Are you enslaved by trying to please God? Are you enslaved trying to make God happy with you and how you live your life? Set yourself free in Christ. Only Jesus can make us right before God. We must choose freedom by trusting in him and accepting his gift. Let's get rid of slavery. Pray with me now that we can do just that. Dear Lord, thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you that we could be made right before you through Jesus. Please help us throw off slavery to the things we try and do to please you. Help us to accept the freedom we have in Jesus our Lord. Help us choose to live as free people. Amen.